We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith. Dale was so shamed by his attempt to put Julian Edelman in the Hall of Fame that he decided to leave. He left the show. I was like, you can come back.
Or I was heating up my coffee in the microwave.
He's back.
Was one of the two.
I thought you said, you know what? I'm going to take another L here today. It's going to be a walk-off. But no, he's here. He's back.
Listen, I think that there is a valid argument. I'm not saying he's a lock Hall of Famer. That'd be silly.
Well, no, I know that. I'm not saying that.
And the point I made earlier was that there are some people in the Hall of Fame. Look, I've always said for years, Joe Namath is the worst person in any Hall of Fame in history. He's in the Hall of Fame for one game. He threw more interceptions in his career than he threw touchdowns.
I'm with you. Get him out. So just because he's in doesn't mean you should put other bad people
in. Right, but I also pointed out that there are some people who are in the Hall of Fame primarily because of what they did in the postseason. You made the very valid argument that those who want to make a case for Curt Schilling being in the Hall of Fame,
yes,
point to the postseason as the reason why.
Right. But I would also, my argument is that Curt Schilling's regular season is still better than Julian Edelman's regular season. And you had brought up Terry Bradshaw, which is another good example. He won so many Super Bowls, but he was also a regular season MVP once. He was a three-time Pro Bowler. Edelman's never been a Pro Bowler. He's never been an All-Pro. He's clearly never been an MVP. Like, I think that has to weigh against him. His stats aren't good enough. My thing, though, that I think he has a much better chance. If you combined Wes Welker's regular season and Julian Edelman's postseason, then you might have yourself a case. But each one on their own, I think, no shot.
But two guys who play the game at the highest level.
That's true. Romo and Boomer Esiason. So he's got a couple of guys backing him. And that's also the way the Pro Football Hall of Fame voting works. You just need somebody to be really convincing, right? Isn't it basically like a debate club? Like, they have a bunch of writers in there. One guy backs a certain player, and he's like, here is why Julian Edelman is a Hall of Famer. And if he could convince the Jedi Council that he is one, then he'd get voted in.
One other quick note as we get right back to the calls with you guys, and we'll talk to William McGinnis at the bottom of the hour. 617-779-7937. Former Raiders Cowboys running back Darren McFadden unfortunately ran afoul of the law yesterday.
Oh, boy.
He was arrested, charged with misdemeanor impaired driving after police found him asleep behind the wheel of his pickup truck in the drive-thru lane of Whataburger.
Kind of like a Michael Floyd situation, although Floyd wasn't at a drive-up. Didn't Jim Irsay do this? Wasn't he in like a fast food parking lot or something?
So evidently the people who worked at Whataburger called the police and said, there's a guy who looks to be asleep in the drive-thru lane here. Nobody can get around him to get their burgers. So they went
Nobody
there.
Nobody can get their burgers.
I said that.
He's blocking all the burgers. People just want their burgers in a timely manner. That's why they're here, and they can't do that now. Thanks, Darren.
He was also charged with misdemeanor resisting arrest.
Oh, boy.
Search or transport. He was released on $2,000 bond.
He was one of the great college football players of the last 20 years. He was incredible. He was the fourth overall pick by the Raiders back in 2008. They had the wild hog offense that they would run at Arkansas. Remember the wild hog? And, man, just did not work out in the pros. He, like, flashed. Was it 2 years ago in Dallas? He, like, ended up having, like, a decent season, I think. But that's another one of those kind of lot. Like, so much talent and just never got it, and clearly dealing with some other stuff.
You know, let's be honest. There are times when you just got an urge for a burger and nothing else will do.
Every night for me. I love a good
burger.
Well,
I'm happy to report that you go get them when you're clean and sober. And
correct.
When you get back to the Fortress
then
of Solitude.
Crack a few.
Crack right. Open that craft brew and go from there.
But we estimated his life would last about 72 years, which is about 5 years less than average based on his frequent consumption of cheeseburgers.
Well, depends on how much you want to eat.
Yeah, it was him and Felix Jones were both in that Arkansas backfield. They were both first-round picks, and they were electric for a while. And now not.
Not so much.
No.
All right, back to the call. 617-779-7937. Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
What's going going on, gentlemen?
What's up, Mike?
I'm in the car wash. What up? So I told Lucy I don't plan on making a habit out of this, but I do agree with Dale on this whole Julian Edelman thing. You know, I feel like there should be a special section in the Hall of Fame for the Dirt Dogs, for the Iron Man.
Dirt
the
Dogs?
Willing to do anything.
Oh, come on, Mike.
Oh, come on. He's Captain Clutchkeep.
I would not have Trot Nixon in the Hall of Fame, by the way.
They have a place. It's called the Patriots Hall of Fame. You can have a whole day for him. It'll be great.
It's going to be a red jacket, but this has got to be some sort of argument for him. And you cut me off because I'm going through the dryer now.
Okay, no, fair enough.
Well, then you gave yourself 10 seconds.
Well, he didn't know when we were going to go to
him, apparently.
No, I guess
that's fair. So. In a car wash, though, that car that has no muffler, he's trying to, at least he's keeping it clean. Thanks, Mike.
617-779-7937. Steve's down on the Cape. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good morning.
Steve,
how are you?
We're great.
Good. So I wanted to talk about one play in particular in the game, and it was the play where the Chiefs finally took the lead with just over 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. And that play looked to me like the Patriots let the running back walk in for that touchdown. And it didn't make sense to me until I realized I looked at the clock, and it was at 2:03. They had three timeouts left, and it just seemed to me that they just decided, let them score, we'll keep three timeouts plus the two-minute warning, and we'll have enough time to go down, get the score we need, win the game with no timeout.
It is a perfectly valid strategic decision. I don't know that that's the decision they made, and I haven't heard Belichick talk about it. It would make sense to me if they did. In fact, you could make the counter argument that the Chiefs player should have just dropped at the one.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You could have, if they were that concerned about it, you go back to the Sony Michel touchdown run at around the 3 or 4 minute mark, 3:30, I think it was. If they were that concerned, maybe they would have had him just go down at the one and bled as much clock as possible. Because think about how many scores happened there late in the fourth quarter. You could have played that game earlier. I wouldn't completely rule it out.
No, I wouldn't either. Now, it wasn't a blatant thing. You didn't see, 11 guys just stand up and just stand there. I mean...
No, and it was, a 2-yard touchdown, I think it was?
Right.
I don't know if they did that. It obviously worked out for them. And both teams had to be feeling that way. You know, when the Patriots scored the first time, when Sony Michel scored, he crossed the end zone or the goal line. There was 3:32 left. And so at that point, you're thinking, all right, that's a ton of time. So much so that, each team was able to score again. That made it 24-21 Patriots. But then the next thing you know, it's 28-24 Chiefs. Then it's 31-28 Patriots. And then it's 31-31. I mean, there was both offenses at that point didn't seem like they were ever going to be stopped.
It is a perfectly valid idea. If the Patriots did, and again, I haven't heard anybody say this, but if they had said, you know what, let them score. That way, in effect, we give Tom 4 timeouts.
Right.
He gets the 2-minute warning. He's got 3 timeouts. We like Tom Brady's chances, in the 2-minute drill, and they should have because, he did exactly what you wanted him to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't heard anybody talk about it. One thing about Belichick, by the way.
Oh,
it's a great question. One thing about Belichick real quick. Having been involved in the Belichick Monday interviews for a couple of years, I will tell you that from time to time, he is good Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, where he's informative. He's fun to talk to. That doesn't happen all that often.
Some days he just doesn't want to do it.
He was great Bill Belichick yesterday. I listened to the whole thing with OMF. He was really good. He was insightful. He added some things. One of the things he talked about was the relationship between he and Brady. He's not very interested in the gossip mongers out there who are suggesting that they don't get along.
No, he's not. Remember last year with us, we were talking about Seth Wickersham. He dropped a fake news on us.
He did. He
dropped a fake news.
Now, Brady had said yesterday morning with Mutt and Callahan that he said he and Belichick get along great.
Yeah.
And all indications from within.
This season seems like it has.
Fake news.
Yeah. this season seems like they've been great. right? Like, there's been no report that they have it. In fact, I think every Sunday it seems like there's, between the ESPN and the NFL Network during their pregame shows, there's always just like this big news dump. And Jeff Darlington, who had been covering the team one of the weeks, was talking about how, yeah, this year there has been no problem. It might even have been the Miami game or after the Miami game, just saying that has not been an issue at all. For all the issues that they have had, you know, a lot of them with Gronk at the beginning of the year, and, you know, us talking about the incentives for both Brady and Gronk, really, Alex Guerrero's name has really never come up all season long.
And he's there all the time.
And Brady and Belichick, that was really one of the main things that kept
Alex,
popping
I saw
up.
Alex this morning again.
Did you really?
I see him a lot.
You saw him this morning?
I see him a lot of mornings.
Really?
Where I work out.
How about that? Are you pliable? Do you work out with Alex? Like,
no, God, okay. No.
Yeah.
No, I have a trainer, thank you. Trainer okay. to the stars, Lisa Sawyer.
Oh, well, shout out, Lisa.
Shout out to Lisa. No, but I
was
see,
that guy peeing
I, and
in
I've
the,
talked to him on a. I haven't seen that guy
the
back.
The guy peeing in the shower?
Several people at the gym have said, you want to point him out to us? Because we just don't want to go near him. And I haven't seen him
it
since.
It wasn't Guerrero, was it?
No, God, okay. No.
All right, good.
I've talked to him on a number of occasions.
Really?
And he's a tennis player.
Guerrero's a tennis player?
Yeah.
How about that? So is he helping people there, or is he working out there?
No, he's just playing tennis.
Oh, no kidding. How about that? Small world.
Just happened to... Oh, there he is. All right, so back to Belichick.
Yes.
Yesterday with OMF, he was asked about the relationship between he and Brady.
Was it emotional because during the course of the season, it's been difficult to get to where you are right now, and now you really know you are a good football team?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, it was a great win, and it was a great team win. We put a lot into the game. We left everything out there on the field. Everybody left every last ounce of energy and fight and competitiveness that they had and put it out there against the Chiefs. And the Chiefs did the same thing. So, you know, we were fortunate to come out on top, and it was a great feeling of satisfaction. We beat a good football team, and we were all ecstatic about it. So, and everybody played a role in it. And certainly Tom played a big role, and, you know, we've had a long and very productive relationship, and felt good about it after a win like that.
But
I mean,
you know
how you could not.
Well, I think he's jealous, Coach.
But you know it's been described. It's been described by some people that there
that
have been issues.
That don't know. That right. have never, some of these people, I don't know who they, I've never met them, never talked to them. So, I mean, I'm not going to get a bunch of, you know, gossip.
Yeah, but there's been a lot of stuff written. You remember the piece last year that you and Brady are having
never
all this
talked
problem?
To the guy.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really think it's a tired storyline. I think it's over. Brady Belichick don't like each other.
No, that's it's pretty
it's
clear.
Over with. Like this year,
there
it's
was
done.
A, there was a very and obviously
they love, they
you
love
just
each
win
other.
A, you just win a
well,
conference
yeah,
championship.
True.
You're going to be in a pretty good mood.
True.
If they win a week from next Sunday,
right.
there'll be another big embrace.
Like I don't think they've ever been best buds. That's fine. How many head coach and quarterbacks around the league are best buddies, hanging out all the time? But I think they have the best working relationship ever. And maybe there was some issues a year ago, and I think it did go back to Guerrero, and access and what he had and what
that,
he couldn't do.
That got taken
that's
care
done.
Of.
That's done. That's fine. So I don't think that's a. I don't think it's an issue at all. And I'm not saying it wasn't worth talking about a year ago because it was. There was a lot of reputable sources and media members because everyone's like, Wickersham, what does he know? Wickersham, what does he know? It's like, well, Tommy Curran, I think, covers the Patriots as well as anybody, and he was reporting a lot of the same similar things. So I think it was worth talking about then, but this season, we haven't seen any reason to get into that.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line 37937. Jay's on the cell. Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
Huge fan. Been listening since the 18 days, Dale.
Thank
great
you.
Job.
Thanks.
Hey, just had a question. Initially, when the Edelman play where he muffed or supposedly muffed a punt happened, I wish I would have DVR'd the game and rewound it because the officials made a call that I was so confused about. They were like, they basically said that the Patriots would have the ball where he supposedly touched it. And then everything happened in the replay, and I never got a chance to go back. But if
well, they can't advance it. That was true. The player ran it into the end zone, the Chiefs player. You can't advance it. He would have gotten it where it was that
Chiefs
he got possession.
Ball right
Chiefs
where
ball
he touched
where he got
it.
Possession.
Yes.
But why could why couldn't he advance it if it touched Edelman? Then it would have been a touchdown.
Yeah, you're not allowed to. You can't advance the muffed punt. I mean, it's just the rule the way it is.
You probably should be able to, for being, you know, if we want to change rules. We're changing rules, you probably should change that one. But yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
I mean,
once he touches it, it's a live ball, but then you can't advance it.
I've seen, well, every replay. They showed it, you know, every angle they had. And there were some replay angles where you went, oh, there's no way he touched it. And there were other replay angles where you said, oh, we might have got it with that one. The left hand was the guilty party, not the right hand, as they were saying initially.
What a wild hop. Like, I don't know how it avoided him, but it did. I thought it was going to hit him in the arm. Nope. I thought it hit him in the hand.
I don't know how it missed him.
Nope.
You know, it's like a shortstop who goes down to one knee to you know, feel that hot one hopper, and then suddenly it bounces over your shoulder.
Because there was, as good of a game as it was, the momentum was stopped a few times with those replays, and you're saying, man, what a swing, you know, whether it was that or whether it was one of the Hogan catches. You're just waiting to see how it's going to, and, you know, the Patriots were able to get the right calls for both of them.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk to New England Patriots Hall of Famer. Probably should be
I'd put him on the short list.
Football Hall of Famer.
Non-stop, wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
I think the narrative is a little bit different going into this game. We were the huge underdog, for real. We wasn't playing the underdog.
No, you guys were like, it was like a 13-point.
We were playing the greatest show on turf. I think when you look at talent-wise across the board, they were probably more talented than we were. I think now when you look at the two teams, which is the Rams and the Patriots going into the Super Bowl, talent-wise, they're a little more even, and it's more balanced. And I think people look at both of these teams and say, hey.
Aww.
People look at these teams, my little daughter. Yeah, both of these people look at these teams and say, you know what? Both of these teams are really good teams. They're well-coached teams, two really good quarterbacks, running backs. Like, you can go all the way down the line. And if you're a fan, you got to figure out which way you want to go or which way you want to lean. But it's not as lopsided as people thought. We knew as players, but everybody else didn't give us a chance.
It is time for our regular weekly conversation with New England Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis. Good morning, Willie. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. I would assume, based on your experiences with the Patriots and Bill Belichick and everything else, you were not among those surprised by what the Patriots were able to do Sunday in Kansas City.
No, not at all. I thought it would be a really good game. I thought it would be a close game, of course. But just from what I saw against the Chargers game and from, you know, the guys, the attitude, the way they've sharpened things up over the last couple of weeks, and pretty much their disposition, I would say, with everybody telling them what is not possible, just fueling the fire, man. And these guys, you know, they've been working hard, and they really care about what's been going on. And of course, you know, it's powerful. I tell people all the time, and you know, if you've ever played the sport, you know that when people are telling you that you can't do something, or you're washed up, or you're done, or you don't have a chance, and you know everybody's going against you. We were in that situation before, and I just know how certain guys in that locker room respond, and you know they responded accordingly.
What's the biggest difference between the way they're playing now and the way they were playing when they lost back-to-back games to the Dolphins and Steelers, something they never do late in the year?
Well, they just wasn't beating themselves. You know, when you go back to those tapes and you watch, it was sloppy football. It was a lot of penalties. It was the bad technique, a lot of breakdowns and certain things, whether it's tackling or whether it's coverage or whatever the case may be. A lot of mental errors, just the team not playing, you know, up to its capability. And, you know, when you always have reminded yourself of a Bill Belichick team, it's always been a team that's, you know, that's disciplined and doesn't beat itself. And when you go back and watch the tape and see what was going on, same players out there, you know, it's just they just wasn't playing clean football.
Tom Brady said yesterday he considers the five guys on his offensive line to be stars in the National Football League, but fairly safe to say that there aren't a lot of people who do consider them stars. How much has Dante Scarnecchia affected what this offensive line has been able to do, and how much of it is just the players being better than some people think they are?
Well, I think it's both. I think Dante Scarnecchia is brilliant in what he does as far as getting these guys prepared for the job each and every week. And, you know, he's been there forever, and he understands and what needs to happen. And, you know, a lot of these guys maybe didn't go first round or first pick or top 10 all the way around. But, you know, when you play at a certain level on a consistent basis, that's when you make a name for yourself. That's when you allow people to start to ask questions about this offensive line. And when you've gone against some of the best pass rushers and guys that play great against the run, on a consistent basis, and you do a great job, but I know the ball comes out quick, but that still, you know, doesn't play into what they do. You got to start recognizing these guys. And sometimes, I said it yesterday on the air, you could be great players, but, you know, sometimes our system in New England trumps that because your job description changes every single week. And for the linemen, it's not really that as much, but just because the system changes, a lot of people want to credit the system, but you got to have great players, and you got to have smart, solid, mentally and physically tough players to play in that system. So it's good that they're getting that recognition, and they should, man. They've done an excellent job.
Going all the way back to 2000, what was your first impression of Tom Brady when he became your teammate?
Well, he was a tough kid. You know, he was a kid that came in with a chip on his shoulder, of course. And somebody that worked hard and wanted to do everything he could in his power to get on the football field. Somebody who believed in himself, felt that he was passed over, you know, like a lot of guys that go late in the draft. But, you know, right away you saw he had the work ethic. Now nobody knew until he actually took the field what the result was going to be. But it seems that he knew the entire time, and he just needed that opportunity, and he got it, and there was no looking back after that.
Now, and similar to that, what did you first think of Bill Belichick? Because I know he was on the staff in 96 when you were here, and then a few years later he came back as a head coach. So I guess, what did you think of him when he was working with you guys in 96, and then what was your first thought when he was hired as the new head coach?
I was a fan. I was a big fan. I mean, he was detailed, and you know, he was on that staff with the Giants, so I already had respect for him because, you know, LT was on that staff, and of course, you know, Parcells had already came from a couple of Super Bowls with that entire staff pretty much, and we used to talk about that defense and certain things that they did and a lot of the star players that they had on that defense, I mean, from top to bottom. So some of that culture was brought over to the Patriots, so it was familiar. And then just watching him coach and how detailed he was and some of the things that he did, we were excited. We knew that, you know, it was about to be a big change in New England.
You're a very well-conditioned athlete, but if you're playing defense and the other team has 94 offensive snaps, what does that do to a group?
It breaks you down. You got to have guys to rotate. You got to be in shape, especially in those conditions. You know, a lot of people think because it's super cold that it's easier to breathe, but it's not. You know, it's kind of the opposite. So you got to find ways, one, to get off the field, because 94 plays is, I mean, that's crazy. And you got to have depth. You got to be able to rotate guys and get guys off the field. But if you don't have the right personnel you're rotating, then, of course, you know, that offense is going to take advantage of it. And you saw times where they caught him with a certain front or a five-man front or whatever the case may be, and they adjusted him and just made plays and surgically went down the field and executed on a whole nother level.
What do you think of the overtime rules? Do you think they're good the way they are, or do you think they could use some tweaking?
The rules are good the way they are. People complain about the rules when it's not in their favor. And, you know, you hear a lot of people complaining. And if we changed every single rule that people complain about, we wouldn't have any rules. So I think it's fair. If you go down and you kick a field goal, the other team gets an opportunity. But if you go down and score pretty much 75 yards or, you know, after the kickoff, and you go down and score, then that's that defense's fault. Like, tell them to get a stop. Like, at some point, we got to go out and execute and make plays and not try to make things so much easier for both teams to go back and forth. And that's why both teams get an opportunity to put your defense out there and get a stop. If you don't stop them, you don't deserve to win.
I can't even imagine what it would be like to be a member of the New Orleans Saints and get that gut punch of the missed call that probably cost you a trip to the Super Bowl. Have you put yourself in some of those players' positions and what it would be like for you under those circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what they're going through, and I know it's like you said, it's a gut punch, and it's something that you probably won't forget about, and it's gonna be a part of the conversations for the next year or so. It's gonna continue to, you know, we're gonna continue to talk about it. But the one thing I will say is this: when something like that happens in a game, or even going into a game, all the great coaches tell you, do not ever depend on a referee to make a call in your favor to help bail you out. Because 90% of the time, it's not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. So what you got to do is, if something like that happens in a game, okay, it didn't go your way, you got to hit the reset button and you got to get back to work. There was still a lot of football to play. If you're still bitching about the call, and you're still going back and forth, and all your energy is going towards that versus how we're going to win this football game, then it's going to take away from that. And I know it may take a little bit of air out of you, but you've got to be resilient. You're in the biggest game of your life this year, because it's the next one. It's the biggest game of your life. You've been in this situation before last year when you've lost on the last second play. Understand, you've got to be able to finish, and you got to be able to focus. This team still had the ball in overtime, going down first. If you go down and you score, the game is over. You threw an interception, you know. And I'm not going to talk about all the other plays in the game that could have affected the game, far as penalties and things that happened, or dropped interceptions by the Rams. Like, you can go all the way down the line, and I know this is the most significant, but it wasn't the only reason why you lost the game. And if you finish the game and you complete the game, you still got an opportunity to win the football game. Don't resort back to that and say, that's why we lost. Now, I understand maybe so, you kick a field goal and the game is over, but why are you throwing the ball anyway? Why are you putting yourself in that situation? There's just a lot of head scratchers for me, you know, coming from a place where we didn't complain about calls. We just went back to work. And if we lost, okay, maybe. But if we won, we'd be like, hey, we had to overcome that obstacle. And this is what happened. So I get it on one, you know, in one sense, but on the other sense, I'm like, there were a lot of things that happened in that game why you didn't win.
Now, I think one of the topics of conversation in the offseason is going to be whether or not penalties should be reviewable, including pass interference. Where do you come down on that?
Well, that's going to be, you know, something that we meet about in the offseason about that. And I don't think you're going to review every single penalty. I mean, the games would be 6 hours long.
Right.
I just don't think you could do that. But I think significant, egregious penalties, maybe pass interferences only or whatever, you put them, slide them into those categories. Something that, you know, is obvious that's a no call, because it was a no call. So you don't review no calls. But maybe they can call down. And if there's certain things that happen, it possibly could happen. That's something that's going to be talked about in the offseason.
Willie, we always appreciate the time. Good news is we got another week to go. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Take care.
Thanks.
That is New England Patriots Hall of Famer Willie McGinnis. And as always, with some his interesting take about, you know, New Orleans did have a chance.
A bunch of chances.
To win.
They had more than one. I mean, people
were
making...
There was a call that was really,
it was
really
significant.
Bad,
right, it was significant. But it wasn't like there was the game over and that immediately handed it to the Rams.
Right.
Right? The Rams still had to go out there and execute as well. So they had their opportunities.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. Noon 30 today, we have Kiefer Madness.
Madness.
Does it involve poop?
Dale, I will.
I just,
a magician
okay.
Never that reveals his
yes.
secrets.
That would mean yes, it does. So now it becomes noon 30.
That's right.
Instead of noon 30.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We are the smartest, most intelligent show in Boston. Just ask us.
I like stats. I'm a stat guy. Vorp, very important to me.
And I include almost everybody on this radio station and almost everybody on that radio station. They don't know.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
What do you think of the overtime rules? Do you think they're good the way they are, or do you think they could use some tweaking?
The rules are good the way they are. People complain about the rules when it's not in their favor. And, you know, you hear a lot of people complaining, and if we changed every single rule that people complained about, we wouldn't have any rules. So I think it's fair. If you go down and you kick a field goal, the other team gets an opportunity. But if you go down and score pretty much 75 yards or, you know, after the kickoff, and you go down and score, then that's that defense's fault. Like, tell them to get a stop. Like, at some point, we got to go out and execute and make plays and not try to make things so much easier for both teams to go back and forth. And that's why both teams get an opportunity to put your defense out there and get a stop. If you don't stop them, you don't deserve to win.
Willie McGinnis, who joined us a few minutes ago, he says he's fine with the overtime rules the way they are. I will tell you this. According to Darren Revelle, an attorney by the name of Frank D'Amico says he has filed a civil suit in New Orleans on behalf of Saints season ticket holders to make the right call, bring both teams back to replay the end of the game.
Good luck, Frank.
Now, here's why, and normally I think these lawsuits, you know, these class action lawsuits on behalf of fans are doomed to fail right from the start. Here's why this one is slightly different for me. They're going to say, you got a rule in the books right here.
There's a rule, you can do it.
You actually say that this is what you can do, so why am I asking for anything so outrageous here?
It is true. If the rule is in there, what would have to be the example for him to enforce the rule?
Yeah, it has, as near as I can tell, never been used, ever.
But why have it in there, I guess, is a fair point. Like, all right, if this is in there, when else would you use it? How much more egregious would the play have to be for you to enforce the rule?
I normally give these class action suits on behalf of fans zero chance. But all you need is one judge in New Orleans, and you could probably find one.
Yeah,
Judge in New Orleans who's also got his, you know, Drew Brees jersey on under his robes.
Well, they better move quick because the Super Bowl is going to be played in a week.
They're going to say this has to be done now because, you know, you got to get ready for the Super Bowl here.
Yeah, they got to. And then they... So the Rams don't even know if they're in it yet? No, I mean, none of this is going to happen.
No.
I mean, nothing's going to happen there. It's just weird that this even popped up. Was it Mike Florio was the first one that sort of wrote the article
about the rule.
That's what I'm saying.
And by the way, the league has yet to put out a release about this. Remember, we heard they were going to put out a release Sunday night. Florio suggested that because of this rule, they were trying to make sure. Let's just hold off. I saw another, and I forget who it was, who said what the league is counting on here is just ignore it. Just don't say anything. Don't do anything. They'll move on to the next thing soon.
Yeah, what?
You know, the news cycle will wear down. But what they're saying is they'll stop talking about it by like Thursday, and then we can get back to, you know, why we all hate the Patriots.
Now, you know, Goodell addresses the league every year during Super Bowl week. I know he says he's always available, but in reality he's not. But he does do one kind of state of the league type of address, right? And then
the Friday before the Super Bowl.
So he does that and all the media will be there, you know. There'd be the plant questions from the kids talking about, oh, the play 60 is really working. I love that.
I hope someday I get to play in the NFL.
And you will, Sally. You for sure will. And so he'll do all of those. There'll be plants. But there's some real questions in there as well. I know like Kern, Shaughnessy, and these guys, they'll be there and they might get a question or whatever it is. There's going to be people from New Orleans. There's going to be Saints beat writers that go there.
Yes.
And whether it's the national guys that ask the question
or the room, but
they may not. They may have to say, oh, I'm from somewhere else. I'm from Los Angeles, and we love that we're getting two teams. But somebody's going to ask about that. And so doesn't he need to address it before then? Because then isn't that also part of the question? How come you've waited until now and you didn't even bring it up? We're the ones having to bring it up. Like that becomes a story to me. He's got to say something.
I said yesterday, the fact that that rule even exists is idiotic. It is stupid for the NFL. And my guess is the only reason it's there is that if somehow, some way, they found proof positive that somebody threw a game, that an official took a payout, that a coach did something.
And then you
allow the commissioner enough leeway to do something dramatic. It's never been utilized. I can't imagine it will ever be utilized. But their argument in court in New Orleans is, if ever there was a situation that calls for this rule, it's in their books, not mine, this rule to be applied, it's this situation.
See, can't you just say, though, if you're Goodell, like, so forget about his ability to overturn it. Just talking about the play itself, can't you come out and say, hey, we understand there was a controversial call in that game. There's a human element to it. The referee thought it was a bang-bang play. Based on the rules right now, you cannot review pass interference. The refs on the field, they felt that it wasn't. So, we have to move on. We will address whether or not these plays can be reviewed in the offseason. Like, it's as simple as that. You're not going to please everybody. I mean, all the Saints fans are going to lose their minds no matter what you say. But I think it's better overall if you kind of get out in front of it and rather than just waiting for the opportunity for somebody to ask you about it. I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, this is definitely a classic Roger Goodell thing. Just, you know, ignore it or don't say a word or disappear for as long as I can. Then
I mean, he's basically... And, of course, he has to sit among the fans because he's a badass, and that's what Roger Goodell does.
Didn't sit with the Patriots
fans. Not so much here. No, but at other stadiums.
Got it. Yeah, the Chiefs.
In Kansas City, they probably like him a lot.
They do. Yeah, they absolutely do. But he can't go to New Orleans. He can't go... That's actually not a surprise, right? That out of the two games, of course he's going to go to Kansas City. He's liked in New Orleans about as much as he's liked in New England. And maybe now, maybe even worse down in New Orleans. But yeah, I mean, he's a coward. I mean, just you gotta say something. And maybe another reason why, just another reason. I think points is the number one reason, but the ratings being up in the NFL, maybe part of it
and
is
that game a huge number.
It did, but we
now the Patriots game did a bigger number, but that did.
Yeah, right.
Huge
oh,
as
for
well.
Sure. But I'm saying because you haven't seen or heard from the commissioner all year, and people certainly here hate him, but he's like Bettman. I mean, every fan of football doesn't like Roger Goodell.
What kind of number? Would the we're bringing them back to finish the game?
100 It would get every single house would watch that game.
Everybody, I got to see what happens here.
Put it on Thursday night. Put it on wherever you want. You got to play a minute 45. It'd be the great. It'd be unbelievable. It'd be a bit of a circus.
See, now, if I were the Saints, you pick it up with that penalty should have been called. So it's Saints ball right here.
First down.
I would come out, kick the field goal. Thanks for coming. We'll see y'all later.
No, what do you mean? It wouldn't be. No, but then the Rams get the ball, then they go down and score, then you lose again. there's too much time left. I mean, they couldn't. They would have to milk the clock. The Rams had a couple of timeouts left. So I still think the story that everybody's forgetting is that the Saints had opportunities. They were up three, so they could have prevented the Rams from tying the game. They didn't. They had the ball in overtime. They could have scored. They didn't.
Is part of your argument in the court that they were so emotionally decimated after the blown call that they just couldn't perform properly after that?
And then the judge says, well, how come you didn't run the ball the play prior to that? What happened there? There's no excuse. That's a terrible play.
Well, that's
call.
An extension of our run game, Your Honor.
That's right.
What we do here.
Drew completes 75% of his passes. We thought we had a pretty good chance of completing that one.
It was, by the way, one of the worst passes he threw all day.
Terrible throw.
Terrible.
Kind of a choke job by Breeze.
617-779-7937. Jay's in North Carolina. Hey, Jay.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys.
Sure, what's up?
Listen, my other half, who doesn't really appreciate football like it, came out with two brilliant comments. The first one was in the penalty at New Orleans. She says, the referee should be penalized for delay of brain.
Nice.
I like it.
Well done.
Kill me. I like that's good
that
stuff.
Kill me. And then she said, after the Patriots game, she said, I think we just saw the Super Bowl, and it stopped me dead in my tracks. But I called yesterday to talk on the Glenn Arway show, and they cut me off because Bill Belichick came on, and the girl that answered the phone for me, she was pretending to be shocked, which killed me. But, they cut me off as Bill Belichick came on. But I want to talk about the three MVPs for that Patriots game. The first one was Edelman, who kept the drive going when it was third and 10 and third and 10.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
The second one was the offensive line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh. Got to get to Belichick.
Oh, no.
Got to get to Belichick.
Bill Belichick's on his way. Two days in a row, what are the chances?
The replay of Bill Belichick.
What did you guys think of, be honest here, what did you guys think of delay of brain?
I liked it.
Lucy, did you
Rossi
screen
like
that call yesterday?
Did he use that material?
I gave him that line. I think it's brilliant.
It was a tough start to the call. And it's OMF. It's not the Glenn Ordway show.
I don't know. If you ask him.
That's true.
If you ask him, it could
be. Oh, my God.
He had
three MVPs. What was the other thing in there?
Well,
his big line was going to be Josh McDaniels is one of the MVPs of the game.
Okay.
Spoiler. Maybe should have led with that one.
The part that they just watched the Super Bowl and that knocked his socks off? What did he say? Anyway, we've spent too much time on it.
I was preparing to blow him up, dude.
I was waiting for it. I thought you were a little late on the
quite
trigger.
Honestly, Rossi, I was thinking
late.
It was going to happen
late.
Sooner
you're a little
than
late.
It did.
2019, it's the new Rossi. We're going to be moving, and you're like, let's see what he's got.
You'd let him get to the second point.
He had like
three,
four
and then
things. He had four
I
things.
I like the conversation with his better half.
Delay of brain?
A line which apparently Lucy fed to him anyway.
They should have penalized the referee, is what he said.
And throw a flag from the owner's booth.
I thought it was a it was a knee slapper. All right, maybe not.
I think we could have done better.
Clayton's on the cell phone. Hey, Clayton.
Hey, unfortunately, Keith stole all my thunder right before you went to the phone calls.
He said something good?
Probably great. You could repeat it if you'd like, Clayton.
I will indeed, then. The New Orleans did not lose the game on the penalty. Yes, the odds are very good, like 99, they would have won it. But they had two tries to stop them. They got the ball in OT. They screwed it up, breezed through the pick. Like, no, you lost. End conversation. The calls get blown all the time. Let's go back to 78 and Sugar Bear Hamilton and roughing Kenny Stabler when we had.
I think we should go back and replay that one too.
I think they should.
Let's go back. Yeah.
Bring them back.
Let's go back and the deliberate fumble. So yeah, let's go back and let's redo them all. So I mean, it's stuff happens.
You cannot say that they were guaranteed that they would win. I agree with you, Clayton.
Right.
But what you can say is that they were stripped of an opportunity to win.
They have a better chance.
By an egregious call.
There's no doubt they have a better chance. But I would
I'm absolutely baffled that they even have this rule on the books.
That is screwy. But as far as the game itself, I mean, they had opportunities after that. And because they were screwing things up prior to that, how do you know they weren't going to screw it up again? How do you know they weren't going to just take the ball after the first down and
fumble.
Bad pass or fumble. I mean, Aaron Donald's on the other side. You never know what's going to happen. He could bust through and you know, sack Drew Brees, fumble, whatever, or hold him to a field goal. And it didn't take the Rams very long to march down and get their game-tying field goal. They still had a couple of timeouts. So there's no guarantee. They definitely have a much better chance. Like the old win probability thing goes significantly up if they throw the flag.
Oh yeah,
there.
ESPN did that. What their chances of winning the game was.
It would have been pretty high. I'm not doubting that, but it's not as simple as, oh, you throw the flag and it's a guaranteed victory. They had their chances afterwards. They blew it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Bottom of the hour, it's Kiefer Madness, because it's noon 30.
That's right.
Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.